Chapter 19. I bolted awake to Embot panicking. "Spensa!" he cried. "Spensa!" My heart suddenly pounding, I scrambled to get into position in the cockpit. I grabbed the control sphere, blinking bleary eyes, my thumb on the trigger. "What?" I said. "Who do I shoot?" "Someone is in the embassy," Embot said. "I set up proximity alerts. They're sneaking up on where they think you're sleeping." Scud. Assassins? Sweating, my mind still cloudy from sleep, I powered up my ship and paused. Then what? Fly away? To where? I was completely in the clutches of the superiority. If they wanted me dead, they wouldn't resort to assassins, would they? I needed to know more. Determined, I fumbled in the cockpit's small weapons locker and got out my handheld destructor pistol. So far as I'd been able to tell, personal weapons were forbidden on Starsight. But I also appeared to have some diplomatic exemptions, so I wasn't certain where I stood. I made sure my hologram was still active, then quietly cracked the canopy and slipped out, keeping a low profile in case of snipers. I dashed to the steps down into the embassy. Here, I crept down toward the top floor. "There are two of them," Embot said softly through my earpiece. "One has reached the kitchen on the top floor. The other is on the bottom floor near the door, perhaps guarding the exit." Right. I'd never been in any actual ground conflicts, and my training was minimal. However, as I left the stairwell and stepped onto the top floor, I felt the same calm, cold determination that I experienced before a starfighter battle. I could face an assassin, so long as I had a gun in my hand. This was a problem I could shoot. I much preferred it to the nebulous worries I'd fallen asleep to last night. "The enemy is positioned approximately 2 meters inside the door," Embot whispered to me, "near the counter. Their back is to the door right now. I think they might be surprised you weren't in the bedroom." I nodded, then leaped into the room, leveling my destructor. A brown, carapaced Krell turned around at the motion, dropping something to the ground that shattered. "A plate?" "Ha!" the Krell said, the voice being interpreted by my translator as female. "Don't kill me!" "What are you doing here?" I demanded. "Cleaning your dishes," the Krell woman said. She waved her armored limbs in a sort of anxious way. "We were sent to do your house cleaning." House cleaning? I frowned, my gun still leveled. But the Krell woman wore a belt full of cleaning tools on the outside of her sandstone carapace, and through the helmet faceplate, I could see the panicked motions from the shrimpy crab creature. She didn't have any weapons I could see. A sound suddenly came from down below, on the first floor. A vacuum cleaner? "Hmm," Embot said. "Perhaps we misjudged this situation."
"Such aggression," the Krell cleaner said. "I was not warned of this."
"Who sent you?" I demanded, stepping forward. She cringed back.
"We are employed by the Department of Species Integration."
Kuna. I narrowed my eyes, but put away my gun. "Sorry about the mistake," I said, then left her and went to check on the other one, a second Krell, who was humming as they vacuumed the ground floor. As I watched them, the chimes at the door rang. I frowned again, then checked the door. A package had been set by it, presumably my new flight suit. Kuna themselves stood outside, tall, blue-skinned, shrouded in an enveloping set of dark blue robes. I opened the door. Kuna gave me one of their creepy smiles, showing too many teeth.
"Ah, Emissary Alanik, may I enter?"
"Did you send your lackeys to sneak up on me?" I said. Kuna stopped short.
"Lackeys? I'm not familiar with the translation of that word. Minions? I sent Mrs. Chamwit to be your housekeeper, and she brought an assistant. I realized that you didn't bring your own staff and might need some lent to you."
Spies. I knew it. I found and turned off their surveillance devices, so they sent their agents to the building to watch me. Had I left anything sitting out that would give me away?
I hope you find them helpful, Kuna said, checking their communication tablet. I'm a little behind. You're scheduled for pickup in roughly 35 minutes. We wouldn't want you to be late on your first day as a pilot. What do you want from me? I asked, suspicious. And what game are you playing? Only to see that you have an excellent opinion of the superiority to take back to your people, Kuna said. May I enter? I stepped back, reluctantly giving them space to enter. They peeked in at the vacuuming Krell, then strolled to a different meeting room, which was empty. I followed, hovering in the doorway as Kuna sat down. I'm very pleased with your efforts, Alanik, Kuna said, and I apologize for the harrowing experience yesterday. I wasn't aware that Winzik and his kind would use such a dramatic method of selecting their pilots. The Department of Protective Services can be reckless. Yeah, well, I'm not the one who needs your apology, and the ones who do deserve it are all dead at the moment. Indeed, Kuna said. What do you know of the human wars, Alanik of Erdale? I know the humans lost, I said carefully, after dominating my planet and forcing us to fight at their side. A political way of saying it, Kuna replied. Your people will fit in with the superiority far better than some assume. I, however, am known on occasion to defy social customs. Perhaps that is due to my preference for interacting with and learning the habits of species that have not yet joined the superiority. Kuna seemed so tall and aloof. Their voice grew soft, even contemplative, as they continued, turning their heads slightly to gaze out the front window. I'd guess you've never seen the aftermath of a Delver attack. And for that, I envy you. They can wipe out all life on a planet just by passing by it, or rather, through it. They don't entirely exist in our reality. They sweep past and leave only silence. What did this have to do with the conversation? We'd been talking about the humans, right? That's terrible, I said. But you told me before that the Delvers left our galaxy centuries ago. So how has anyone seen firsthand what they can do to a planet? Kuna tapped their fingers together, and I realized the answer had stared me in the eyes not a few days before. Standing on the space station outside Detritus, watching that ancient video, I had seen what Delvers could do. The humans summoned a Delver, didn't they? I asked. That's why you're all so frightened of the Delvers, and why you hate humans so much. It wasn't just the wars. The humans tried to weaponize the Delvers. Yes. We nearly lost those wars anyway. But during the second one, the humans developed hidden bases on obscure planets around small or dying stars. There, they began a terrible program. If they'd been successful, then the superiority would have not just been destroyed, it would have vanished. I felt a still coldness deep inside me. The Delver has turned back on us. Words spoken by the man I'd seen on that video, said right before everyone on the planet Detritus had been consumed. I'd watched those long-dead humans try this. That was what they'd been doing. They'd summoned a Delver. Only instead of destroying humankind's enemies, the thing had turned on them. The horror of it welled up in me again, and I felt sick, leaning against the side of the doorframe. We are exceedingly fortunate that their own weapon turned against them, Kuna said. The Delvers cannot be fought or controlled. The humans successfully brought one to our realm, and then it destroyed several of their most important planets and bases. Even after the humans were defeated, this Delver was a scourge upon the galaxy for years until it finally left. I know your people have a reverence for the humans, Alanik. No, you don't need to object. I can understand and empathize to an extent. Yet you must understand that the task we are about here, learning to fight against Delvers, is an essential project. Winsick and I might not agree on how all this should proceed, but we conceived this project together, a way to develop countermeasures against the Delvers. Until we can do this, the superiority is in grave danger. You think the humans are going to return, don't you? I asked, the pieces falling into place. I've read on the local data net that they're supposedly all contained in preserves, but some people claim that the humans are close to escaping. Kuna finally turned from the window to glance at me, their alien expression unreadable. They made a dismissive gesture, sweeping two fingers to the side in front of them. Look back through the archives, and you'll find that the humans are supposedly always close to escaping. Indeed, flare-ups in their resistance always seem to coincide, somehow, with times when the Department of Protective Services needs to pass some important funding bill. That one hit me like a punch to the stomach. The Department of Protective Services, the Krell, they were using Detritus and my people as a way to gain political favor? You think they let the humans grow more dangerous? I said. They maybe relax their guard a little so that everyone will be properly afraid, and so that the department can prove it's doing a good job? I would not make such a claim, Kuna said, for a claim such as that would require evidence, not mere assumption. Let us simply say I find it curious. And it has been happening for so long, so regularly, that I doubt the humans are any kind of real danger to us, no matter what all the experts and commentators think. You're wrong, though, I thought. Winsick made a mistake. He let the DDF get too strong. He let me become a pilot, and now we really are close to breaking out. It's not just a convenient excuse this time. He must be panicking. So now he creates this space force, this special team of pilots. It couldn't be a coincidence. The Delvers are the real danger, Kuna said. Perhaps I am wrong, and perhaps the humans will become a threat again in the future. But even if they do not, someone else will try to use the Delvers. Dealing with Delvers is foolish, reckless, aggressive behavior, and so some race out there is bound to try it. The superiority will not be safe until we can fight the Delvers, or at least drive them away. I can see the logic in that, I said, and I did. My main goal was to steal a hyperdrive, but if there was some superiority weapon against the Delvers that I could discover, then I was certain we'd find that handy as well. But why was Kuna telling me all of this? They rose and stepped closer to me, then glanced at my side, toward the weapon sticking out of my pocket, where I'd hastily stuffed it. I quickly tucked it farther inside. You should not carry that about, Kuna said. You are under my protection, but even that will extend only so far. Sorry, I said. I thought you were... Anyway, I might have frightened the housekeeper upstairs. I'll deal with that, Kuna said. I just need you to understand how important your task is. Winsick must be watched. I do not have the power over this training program that I would like, so I would ask that you remember our deal. I will see that your people's application to the superiority is met with approval. In turn, I would ask you to report to me on your training. I'm to be your spy, I said. You are to provide service to the superiority. I have proper clearance and authorization to know anything you would tell me. Great. It was as I feared. I was trapped between the two of them. Do not be so concerned, Kuna said. They gave me another predatory smile. I asked you to do this in part because I know you will be safe. As a Cytonic, you can hyperjump away at a moment's notice should you be in danger. Yeah, about that, I said. How much should I admit? I won't have my ship, and I need the technology on it to hyperjump. Ah, Kuna said. So you're not fully trained yet. You still require mechanical aid. Exactly, Do you suppose you could give me some sort of training? Kuna shook their head. Untrained cytonics are far less dangerous than trained ones. It took centuries of training before our own cytonics were powerful enough to draw Delvers by accident. And we suspect your people are far from doing so. To train you would only accelerate that danger. Maybe if I had a superiority ship with a hyperdrive, I could try out using your technology, I said. Then I could see how it felt and learn how to do FTL safely.
Ooh,
Embot said in my ear. Nice. Well, I cannot keep you from experiencing a hyperjump, Kuna said. The training facility you'll visit today will require one. So perhaps you'd best pay attention to the process. Awesome. I checked the clock on my bracelet. Scud, it was almost time. Don't let me keep you, Kuna said with their ever-calm voice. Go prepare. You have a busy day ahead of you, one I'll be very interested to hear about. Right. Well, I couldn't exactly kick them out. I dashed to the stairwell, grabbing the package and passing the vacuuming Krell, who jumped back as I entered. I didn't buy the timid act. They were a spy, obviously. I walked a fine line in this game. In the bedroom, I quickly checked for anything I'd left that might expose who I really was. Then I changed into the flight suit that had been delivered, grabbed Doomslug from my room, and hurried up to Embot. Watch Doomslug, I said to him softly, tucking her into his cockpit. Kuna says I'll need to hyperjump to go to the training today. Will you be able to connect me? Your bracelet doesn't have a cytonic transmitter, Embot said. It's supposed to, but your people didn't have the right parts to fabricate one. So unless your new ship has one, and we can figure out how to link up, then no, we won't be able to talk once you hyperjump away. Great. I stored the destructor pistol. Keep watch for anything odd. And what do I do if I find something odd, Spensa? I can't escape. I don't know, I said, frustrated. I hated being so much in the power of others. If everything goes wrong, at least try to die heroically, all right? I have no response to that. How unusual. But here, I've got something for you. What? I asked. I'm uploading a second holographic map to your bracelet. If you use it, the image will make you look like a left dione of inconspicuous features, which I've constructed. It might be good to have a backup persona to adopt. I don't know that I can handle the one I already have, I said. Still, it is wise, just in case. You should get going. I'll still have contact with you up until you hyperjump, so we aren't going radio silent quite yet. I scrambled back down the steps to grab some breakfast, then pack a lunch as I'd been instructed. I put this in a backpack I'd ordered, then reached the bottom floor right in time for the chime to go off, informing me that the shuttle had arrived to take me to training. Kuna stood on the landing near the front door. Don't touch my ship, I said to them. I wouldn't think of doing so. I debated for a moment longer, suffering that untrustworthy smile, then sighed and marched out the door.